Good morning. I was asked to remind the ladies that immediately following afternoon service was the ladies' devotional. So all ladies are invited to attend that. I'm going to give everybody a heads up. We had some technical difficulties here this morning. So when I first plugged in the projector to this laptop, it gave a bad feedback buzzing noise into the speaker system. So we're getting ready to try something. So you're either going to have the PowerPoint and you're not going to have the speaker system and I'll have to talk real loud, or you're going to have the speaker system and not the PowerPoint. So they're getting ready to turn it off here, and we'll see if it hooks up. Well, we got it without the buzzing noise. Can everybody hear me all right? I'll take that. Have you ever seen this ad? There's an opening for a well-rounded, personable, patient, clean and neat, well-dressed, healthy, this requirement sometimes is waived, an attractive individual. Long hours, low pay, fair working conditions, few fringe benefits, occasional vacation, no guaranteed holidays. Applicant must have management ability, dietary knowledge, ability to drive, knowledge of etiquette. Knowledge of new math is helpful but not required. Ability to sew, mechanical knowledge, and must show commitment to the position. No written test is required. I don't know about you, but I would not want that job. And although you may never have seen an ad in the paper for that job, it does exist. And most of you probably already figured it out by now. It is that of a mother. Today, it's Mother's Day. So a big happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there this morning. We don't want to let it go by without making sure we mention that. But you know, Mother's Day has not always been around. Really, just in this country. In 1907, Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia started the campaign to honor mothers, 2 years after her own mother had died. In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And then, a year later, nearly every state officially had marked the day. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a national holiday for the second Sunday of May, which we still celebrate today. And it's definitely a day worth having. It's a great idea. It's a great holiday. And mothers are definitely worthy of the day. So we want to talk about mothers today on Mother's Day. But specifically, what we want to talk about are godly mothers. Abraham Lincoln, I think he got it right. He's attributed with saying, "No one is poor who has had a godly mother." And we can agree with that. When I think of my ideal godly mother, I think of the descriptions of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." So, now doesn't that describe your mother? Wise and kind. Now, there are three basic but main characteristics of a godly mother that I want to expand upon here this morning. So we're going to talk about godly mothers. They're devoted to their God. She is devoted to her husband. And she is devoted to her family. All right. A godly mother is devoted to her God. Faith. A mother's devotion to God is founded in her faith. One of the few things mentioned about Timothy's mother and grandmother were their faith. 2 Timothy 1:5, if you want to follow along with me this morning, I'll have a lot of verses up here. I'll reference the scripture, but the text is not up here. So 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." See, Paul was writing to Timothy, and when mentioning Timothy's faith, one of the things that he references, one of the main factors that contributed to Paul's faith was it was strong because his mother's was strong, because his grandmother's was strong. It was unfeigned faith. So they were devoted to God. And we've recently, in our Wednesday night class, we've been talking about Samuel. So his mother, Hannah, if you remember the story of Hannah, she demonstrated remarkable faith. She prayed continually for the son, for a son, to the Lord. So much so, she was praying, she wasn't out loud, but her lips were moving, that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. You know, when my mom and my dad met, my mother, she was Methodist. Her devotion to God, though, allowed her heart to see what was right and what was wrong once she had been taught the truth. And she was baptized, and she's been a faithful Christian ever since, almost 50 years now. Courage. A godly mother has courage. Now, we know the story of Moses, but if you think back to when he was born, in order to save her son, his mother Jochebed, she executed a plan that would save her son from the Pharaoh's hand, all the while allowing her to nurse him and to help raise him. She had courage. I see, when I mentioned my mother, when she became a member of the church, it was not an easy thing to do because of her family. She was going against the traditions of her family, and it took courage for my mother to tell her mother and father what she now believed. Self-sacrifice and dedication, as bad as Hannah desired to have a son, she was willing to sacrifice her personal desires in order to please the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1:11, not a lot is said about Hannah in the very beginning of the book, but it says in verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. See, when my mom broke from her parents' religious traditions, she sacrificed a lot. And I am sure many of you have gone through a similar conversion, and you know exactly what I am talking about. So, a godly mother is devoted to her God. And she's devoted or dedicated as well to her husband. Contrary to popular opinion, the most important characteristics of a godly mother is her relationship, not with her children, but with her husband. What you communicate to your children through your marital relationship will stay with them for the rest of their lives. By watching you and your husband, mothers, they are learning the most fundamental lessons of life. Those of love and self-sacrifice, integrity, virtue, sin, sympathy, compassion, and understanding and forgiveness. Whatever you teach them about those things, right or wrong, it is planted deep within their hearts. A godly mother loves her husband. Titus 2:4 says, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Godly women love their husbands. They don't just like them, they love them. And I've seen relationships where there is no love, and that is tough. And usually, those relationships don't last. A godly mother is loyal. You know, this seems to be a word that's lost its place in our culture and in our society. Most people, they like the idea of loyalty. A man loves their dog mainly because that dog is loyal to the master. You know, employers, they want those employees to be loyal to the company. But anymore, companies aren't very loyal to the employees. We want people in our lives to be loyal to us. Yet, we tend not to want to be loyal to anybody else. 1 Corinthians 7:10, go back to the wife, to the mother. It says, Paul says, but to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. Verse 31 says, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives. Now this is clear. Proverbs 31, 10 through 14. If you just want to stay in Proverbs 31, I'm going to reference that several times if you're following along. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 14. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. But you know, as wonderful of a thing it is to be a godly mother and to be loyal to your husband, it also comes with a warning. The last part of 1 Corinthians 7:34, it says, "But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband." So we got to be careful that she cannot be so concerned with pleasing her husband that she forsakes the Lord. Godly mother is devoted to her husband also physically. And yes, this is a part of it. And it must be included. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, "The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." In Ephesians 5:31 it says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There must be intimacy in marriage. Each has a responsibility to the other. A godly mother makes sure that her duties as the wife are being met. You know, and this is not a bad thing. This is not a curse, nor should it be despised, because it's God's plan. Matthew 19 and verse 5 says, "And said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." The other part is being devoted to your husband is being in subjection. And again, this is another term that in our day and age, in our culture, not only is the word not used or nor is it common, but it is a concept that is portrayed very negatively. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that this view has crept into sections of the Lord's church. You know, it didn't help that the generations of the 40s and the 50s, some of those abused the concept, particularly in the church. But what does the Bible teach us about it? 1 Peter 3:5 says, "For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Does that sound negative or unwanted at all? Now, the verse, to me, that has been too oftentimes misquoted and abused by men, again, in the church, Ephesians 5:22, says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." But you have to ask yourself, now, why did Paul say that? What's the context? What was he saying? You know, any time a decision is made, whether it's in business, whether it's in politics, whether it's in family life, in the household, there's going to be variances of opinion. But at the end of the day, a decision must be made. And God established the authority for such occurrences. But I want to point out here the attitude with which the decision is to be made. And this, in my opinion, is where the greatest misuse of this command has occurred. The attitude should be the very same attitude that Christ has when it says that he is the head of the church. We don't resent Christ for being our head, nor for being in subjection to him, do we? And why don't we? Why don't we resent Christ? Because we know that he loves us. We know that he wants the best for us. And we know that he is preparing a place for us as we speak. That's a wonderful place, heaven. And he is there making it ready for us. So with that is the same attitude with which husbands should be the head of their wives. And when we do that, godly mothers, they will not have difficulty being subject to their husband. Verse 24, it says, "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." But you know, it's free will. Christ is our head, and we're subject to Him because we choose to be. He doesn't lord it over us. And that's the same attitude that we should have in our families and with our wives. Now, all of you godly mothers out there, I submit to you that your subjection can save your husband. 1 Peter 3:1-4, it says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Verse 2, "As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." Now, to me, that doesn't sound negative at all. And it doesn't seem like it should be looked down upon at all. To me, it shows the power that God put in the woman and what she can have with regards to the spiritual condition of her mate. Now, how awesome is that? Ladies, being subject to your husband is not a bad thing. I've seen my mother love my father without hesitation or prejudice. In good times and bad, she's always been loyal to him. I never saw her falter. And although Dad may not always see it, I have not seen a more subject wife. And that does not mean that Mom never gets her way, doesn't get what she wants, or that her opinions don't matter. See, she expresses her opinions, but at the end of the day, what Dad finally says, that's what goes. And Mom abides by his wishes. You know, thinking back, I guess I was probably spoiled to how a godly mother was to exhibit these qualities. I thought all wives were like this. They are not. But if you're a godly mother, you will exhibit these qualities too. She's also, at third point, she's devoted to her family. Dedicated to her family. You know, we mentioned it, the center of any relationship is love. And a mother's love for her children and for her family is no different. Again, Titus 2:4, it says, "So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." Just as a godly mother loves her husband, so also she loves her children. And it seems natural, doesn't it, that a mother would love their children? But it's not always the case. The Bible even talks and warns about those who do not have what's called natural affection. And that's what they're talking about. Or in this case, in this situation, those who don't love their children. They dedicated them to the fire of Molech in the Old Testament. And we even see it in our culture today. We see things on the news that a mother would allow or that she exposes their children to. And you say, how could she love them? They prostitute their daughters to a basketball team. Who does that? One without natural affection. A godly mother loves her family. And a godly mother teaches her children about God. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now how? How does that occur? The mother sees to it that the children go to Sunday school. The mother sees to it that the children get their Bible lessons before Sunday school. The mother sees to it that the child learns to pray to God at night when he goes to bed, in the morning when it rises up, when they go to sit down to eat dinner. And now, I'm not implying that the father doesn't have any culpability or a role to play here. But a godly mother makes sure that these things are being done. Now, I remember there's a story about me and my sister. Actually, we were young and in an elementary school out in the country. And they had a fall festival. And every fall festival, they used it to raise some funds for the school. And they had raffles. They had items they would go purchase, and then they would give tickets to every class. And each class was to sell as many tickets as they could, and they would raffle off to the winning ticket, whatever that item was, a TV, VCR. Yeah, they had VCRs back then, things like that. But my sister and I were not allowed to participate because we were taught that that's gambling. Not only could we not buy tickets, but we weren't going to engage in the selling of the tickets either. My mother took the time to teach us what is envy and what is covetous. And exact gambling is a sin of covetousness. Now, it was hard. It was hard for my sister and I because we got ridiculed. Why can't you participate? Don't you want your class to win? Not just from our classmates, but also from the school administrators. But Mom held firm. And to this day, my sister and I, we don't buy lottery tickets. We don't engage in wanting something for nothing. And wanting something, and the only way that we can get that is for somebody else to have to lose. You see, that's covet. I want what somebody else has. That's the sin of gambling. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart of it. You know, you speak the way God wants you to speak. You don't cuss. You don't tell dirty jokes. You behave in school the way God wants you to. These are the things that a godly mother teaches. You treat others with respect, especially your teachers. The way they treat teachers today, it's horrible. You don't cheat. You teach them songs about God and Christ. You don't let them watch indecent shows or movies. You teach them what the meaning of life is and why you are here. A lot of people can't answer that question. A godly mother can, and she teaches her child, and that is, you're here to serve God. If you teach your children these things as a child, chances are they will not depart. But let me tell you something. If you do not teach these things to your child when they're young, chances are they're never going to learn them. And they'll never be a servant of God. So, godly mothers teach them their children about God. They provide care. Back over to Proverbs 31 again. We'll read verses 15 through 19. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands in the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Does that sound like a lazy person or a lazy woman to you? That's a very busy woman that they're describing. But you know, there's another method for providing care that a lot of folks in our society today, they don't like to discuss it. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 31:27-28 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She doesn't sit around. Her children rise up and bless her. So you have shame or a blessing. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Mothers, if you do not want your child to bring you shame, but you want them to bless you, if you want to build up your house, then don't be lazy. Work to give your children wisdom. Teach them right from wrong. Tell them no every once in a while. And do not give them everything they want. Now, as a child, I remember I wanted a lot more than I ever received, but I never wanted for anything. Does that make sense? Mom always made sure that we had clothes for church and for school, food to eat. We participated in extracurricular activities, sports, chorus, We were taught right from wrong, and when we were wrong, there were consequences. And then I ask you, is God any different? A godly mother will sacrifice for her family. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. See, when God gave the child, Hannah dedicated herself to raising him. She would be devoted to that task for several years, knowing her time with him was short. See, that's so different than what we see today, isn't it? The women, when they have a baby, sometimes, not everybody, but a couple months later, they put the baby in some type of a daycare, and then they take off for the job. But not Hannah. She was totally committed to stay in the home until that little life was trained. And she had important work to do. Nursing, loving, cherishing, instructing. Hannah understood how vital those early years are when 90% of personality is formed. She prepared him in those formative years for a lifetime of service to God. What a high calling that is, to be a godly mother. But don't mistake her devotion to raising Samuel for the modern day tendency to make the child the center of the universe. Hannah discharged her responsibility as a steward. One day she had to give Samuel back. It wasn't about fulfilling her deepest needs through her child. It was about fulfilling her oath to God. It was about being faithful to her calling to be a godly mother. You know, my mother, many of you don't know, she went back to school to college later in life, almost the same time as my older brother. She was what they call a non-traditional student. Mark, you probably have some of those in your classes. Non-traditional student. That means they're not traditional. They're older than Mark would be. She had sacrificed, see, her professional career in order to raise a godly family. I cannot begin to count the number of times that my mother would sacrifice something that she wanted in order to be a godly mother and in order to provide for her family what they needed over what she wanted. President Theodore Roosevelt said, when all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. When preachers preach about godly mothers or godly women from the Bible, they usually preach about Esther or Ruth. You know, I didn't preach about them today. When I thought about this lesson and I thought about what godly mother I wanted to use as an example of a godly mother, when I put these 3 points together, the godly mother that I was working with was my mother. And although it may seem that I have embarrassed my mother by some of the stories I've shared, today I honor my mother. When I think of the qualities that we have pointed out and what woman exemplifies them to me, it is my mother. And I'm sure that you have similar stories that you guys could share and put together a lesson on your mothers. So that's half of it. Now, real quick, what do the mothers deserve? I just want to hit on a few of these real quick. And you young folks, especially you that are still at home with mom and dad, although it applies to the rest of us. Obedience. Mothers deserve our obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Guys, just do what they say. Don't backtalk. Don't argue or give your 2 cents worth. Just obey. Just do it. Respect. They deserve our respect. Respect her. Ephesians 6 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And affection. 1 Kings 19:20 says, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. See, he had his priorities right. Before he was going to leave, he knew that he needed to go kiss his mommy and his daddy. Go back again, for what have I done to you? See, we should show affection to our mothers. Tell them that you love them. Kiss them hello and kiss them goodbye. You can ask any mother in here, and I'm doubtful that any of them would tell you, don't do that. Because while you got them on earth, you need to do it. Wisdom. Proverbs 10:1 says, a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Do you want to grieve your mother? Then don't do foolish things. Sadly, we all do at one point or another. And don't ever think that you're too old to bring grief to your mother. I'm 43. My mother still worries about me. So don't go out. Don't get drunk. Don't go get high. Don't get arrested. Don't be foolish. Don't do foolish things. Your mother deserves that. She deserves righteousness and joy. Proverbs 23, 24, and 5 says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. They deserve our care. We must care for our mothers, especially when they're older. Timothy, when discussing widows, he tells us that we must take care of our own. And if you do not, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. I tell you how important it is to take care of your mother, especially when she's a widow. Now, my sister and I, we've got an agreement. I'm not going to be changing any depends. And I'm not going to be giving any baths. That's her job. But I have a responsibility. And I will do it. Now, I may pay somebody else to do it. But it's my responsibility. So I'm going to take care of it. Your mother is your God-given responsibility to take care of. Today, we honor godly mothers. We have a lot of them in this building today. Women who have quietly dedicated their lives to serving their God, to being dedicated to Him, to loving their husband and being dedicated to Him, to loving their children and their families and being dedicated to them. You know, for those of you out here who are young mothers or soon to be mothers, and you're thinking, what type of a mother do I want to be? Look around. Strive to be a godly mother. And if you do that, you have made a valuable contribution to God, to your family, to the church, and to your community. So that's my lesson this morning on being a godly mother. If there's any in the audience this morning that are subject to the Lord's invitation, we definitely invite and encourage you to come forward as together we sing the song that's been announced.